Some of you may have heard me say before that I am directionally challenged. So what that means is if I ever ask you for direction, please don't say, first go north or west or southeast, because that's too much information for me. My brain just doesn't work like that. It's kind of like a cartoon. I remember seeing this once. Little boy goes up to his mother and says, "Mommy, where did I come from?" And this was a moment she was prepared for. She knew this was coming. She didn't think it was going to come this early, because he was still pretty little, but she was prepared for it. And so she launches into this explanation about the birds and the bees and human reproduction and anatomy and all of that. And he listens patiently, and when she's finally finished, he says, "Yeah." He says, "But where do I come from?" Tommy says, "He's from Kansas City." Sometimes that's just too much information. I can tell you, when I need answers for my questions, a lot of times where I turn to now is technology. I'm sure this is probably true for a lot of you too. GPS, for instance, has been my go-to now for a long time. I love that I've got this little voice coming from my phone telling me to turn left or to turn right or get in this lane or that lane. That's exactly the kind of directions that I need. That's not too much information. That's just what I need, just when I need it. So that's been helpful. It's gotten me out of some hairy situations, but it's also led me astray a few times. Not too many, though. I still trust it most of the time. Another app that's been something that's been helpful to me is Facebook. It's actually made me into a much better friend. I almost never forget a birthday now. Almost never. Even for people who I barely know, I wish them a happy birthday. And so it's made me into a better friend. And finally, and maybe this has been the most significant, a combination of Google and YouTube has made me into a pretty accomplished handyman. It has. Before, if I didn't know how to do something, I'd either have to wait until my dad could show me or somebody else could show me. Now, if I need to, you wouldn't believe some of the jobs I've tackled, because I can get online, I can watch somebody do it step by step. I can watch exactly what they do and how they do it, and then I do it myself. Pretty cool. So the point I'm trying to make here is that that sometimes we run up against things we've never done before, and technology can be helpful. But what about challenges that come up in your life? What about challenges that come up in your relationships for which there are no videos, YouTube videos, that will give you step-by-step instructions? What do you do? What do you do then? In our scripture reading for today, Jesus promises his disciples that he is going to send his Holy Spirit to be their guide in life when he is no longer with them. And this comes from a much larger section in John's Gospel, where Jesus is talking about the role of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit will do for us, how it will empower us. And so this is just a short section, but there's a lot in this text. John 16, beginning at verse 12, Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." So as I said, this is a point in Jesus' ministry where he is working specifically with the disciples, with those who were already following him, and he's trying to help them understand that for him to ascend to the Father is going to be a good thing, because then he will send the Holy Spirit to dwell with them, not just with them, but within them. And the Holy Spirit will be their guide. And I also get the impression, when I read this, that Jesus understood, he could see that his disciples weren't ready yet to absorb everything he needed to teach them. He even says here, "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You're just not going to be able to absorb everything you need to know in order to live faithfully, which is why you're going to need the Holy Spirit." It reminds me a little of what I plan to do today with the kids in our 11-11 service. They all come forward for this kind of little mini sermon, children's sermon. And what I intend to do is I'm going to give them a little bit of a lecture on refinancing their mortgages. And I'm going to talk to them about points, and I'm going to talk to them about getting the very best interest rate that they can get, and I'm also going to tell them that they need to keep their escrow costs in mind. So you think they're going to be able to absorb that? You think it's? I'm guessing probably not. It's just kind of like this kid scratching his head here. But hopefully someday this is information they will be able to use. I think that's what's going on here. Jesus knew that there were going to be questions. There were going to be new questions that the disciples were going to face in the early days of the church. Questions for which there were no kind of black and white answers, no specific things he didn't address specifically in the Gospels. So let me just give you a couple examples. For instance, one of the biggest questions that the New Testament tackles is the question about whether or not Gentiles can become Christians without first becoming Jews. Now I know we live on the other side of that debate, so we don't think anything of it, but it was a huge deal in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament church, in the early church. And the reason for that was because Jesus and all the disciples were Jewish. They all followed Jewish law. So the question was, do Gentiles first have to become Jews and follow Jewish law? Do they have to practice circumcision? Do they have to follow kosher diets? Do they have to do all of that before they can become Christians? Well, it was a difficult discussion. It was a painful decision, especially for the Jewish Christians that were pushing that. But you should be glad that they came out on the side that they did, because Gentiles were allowed to become disciples without first becoming Jews, without first becoming faithful to the Jewish law. If they had made that decision instead of the decision that they made, we wouldn't be here today. So that question about Gentiles was one of many questions that would come before the apostles. Another question that came up in the early church, and this comes out of the book of Corinthians, or the letter to Corinthians, somebody in that church asked Paul a question about divorce. Now we know that divorce was an issue that Jesus talked about, but this was a little different twist on it. The question was, if I'm a believer and I'm married to an unbeliever, and the unbeliever requests a divorce, what am I to do? And Paul says, well, I think I've got the Spirit here in this situation, and I can't see that it's avoidable. So divorce in that case is unavoidable. So again, Paul was thinking on his feet, and that basically was what happened in the early church with the Holy Spirit as their guide. They had to think on their feet. They had to make prayerful decisions about important things with the Holy Spirit to guide them. And I guess in that regard, you could say that things haven't changed that much. We too need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In 2019, we face questions about things that the apostles would have never even imagined 2,000 years ago. And it's not enough to say that all of life's questions we can find answers for them in Scripture. Certainly, that's the best place to start. The Bible is always the best place to start, but Jesus sent the Holy Spirit so that we could have wisdom and guidance from within that would always be with us. That's why the Holy Spirit is there, to be our guide, to lead us. And it's something you don't have to carry a book with you, because it's always there. The best comparison for this I've ever come across was somebody said, it's the difference between traveling to some place you've never been before using a map or even your trusty GPS. Okay, that can be helpful. You can look at a map, you can see where you're at, or the basic outlines of where you're at. If you have a GPS, you can do the same. But if there's a detour, or if there's a bridge out, I mean, and that's certainly been happening around here a lot lately, if you followed your GPS, you probably would get stranded. You wouldn't know what to do next. It's the difference between doing that and traveling somewhere you've never been before, but with someone who lives there, who knows the lay of the land, who knows what to do if there's a detour, who knows what to do if a road is closed or a bridge is out. When you have the Holy Spirit on board, you have everything you need. And so when a really big problem raises its head, the Holy Spirit will guide you. And one more thing. If you get lost, or when you get lost, because it happens to all of us, it's inevitable. When you lose your way, the Holy Spirit will let you know that too. That's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us that one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of our sin. In other words, its job is to make us aware of how and where we've gotten off track. And it doesn't convict us of our sin to make us feel bad, but to lead us onto the right path. That's what the Holy Spirit does. There's a song by a group called Monsters of Folk that I really like. It's a super group of folk singers that got together and made an album. And the one song on it is called The Right Place. And the first verse goes like this. Do you like where you're living? Do you like what you do? Do you like what you're seeing when you're looking at you? Do you like what you're saying when you open your face? Do you got the right feeling? Are you in the right place? One of the best feelings that a disciple of Jesus can have is when we're asked that question, are you in the right place, is to say, yeah, I am in the right place. I do feel good about where I'm at right now. And one of the worst feelings that a disciple can have is knowing that you're not. But that's one of the ways that the Spirit leads us. So if the Spirit has you squirming a little bit right now, if the Spirit has you maybe not so happy with where you're at, then I want you to see that as a good thing, not as a bad thing. What that means is that, number one, the Spirit is still working with you, and that you're hearing it, right? I believe that that the more the Spirit works on us and the more we ignore it or deny it, the harder our hearts are going to get and the less sensitive we're going to be to it, so that pretty soon you're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear it at all. So if you're hearing it, that's a good thing. Pay attention. And that also means that you're sensitive. So it's good news. So the biblical word for this is repentance. Repentance basically means to turn around. If you look at the Greek, the Hebrew for this, that's what it means. It means to turn around, to go in a different direction. Somebody was once explaining to me that really what it is kind of a two-step process here. The first thing you have to do is you have to agree with God. So if the Holy Spirit has convicted you and you know you're off track and you know you need to get back on the right track, the first thing you have to do is agree with God that that's the case. And then the next thing you have to do is turn and change. Do something about it. Call it repentance, call it whatever you want. That's what a faithful life looks like, and that's something that you're going to do over and over again. It's not something you just do once. A faithful life means doing this, maybe not every day, but a lot. And the more you do it, maybe the less you'll have to do it. But this is what a faithful life looks like. Now, sometimes we have trouble admitting when we're wrong. And some people really struggle with this. They can never admit they're wrong. That's a problem. It's a big problem. In my family, this is going to age me a little bit, but we always, somebody will inevitably bring up this episode of Happy Days, a long time ago, where Fonzie has done something, he's done something wrong, and he needs to apologize. He really actually wants to apologize, but he just can't say it. Maybe you know some folks, they could never say it. All he could say was, I was, he couldn't say it. That's a problem. If you can't admit you're wrong, if you can't ask for help, you're not hurting anybody. If you're too proud to do that, if you're too stubborn to do that, you're not hurting anybody but yourself. When I was a kid once, I was working on a project in the backyard, building a clubhouse or something like that in the summer, and I managed to step on a whole bag of nails, barefoot. And when I fell back and looked at the damage, I had one spike sticking out of my heel, straight out of my heel. So I screamed when I saw that, and my mom came running. And even though I really needed help at that point, the first thing I said when she got there was, "Don't touch it! Leave me alone!" And being the experienced nurse that she was, she promised not to touch it. She says, "Let me just inspect it." And so I was okay with that. And so she looked at it, and then just boom, she just pulled it out of my heel, just like that. I needed help. Even though I said I didn't, and that's the thing. We all need help from time to time, every one of us. And the other thing is, nobody's perfect. So if you think you're perfect, and if you think you don't need help, that's what you need to work on first. Okay? That's what you need to work on first. That's a problem. When it comes to faithful living, we are all basically amateurs. Just like the first apostles were. That's why Jesus said, "I got a lot of stuff to tell you, but you can't even absorb it all at once." We are all amateurs. We all need the Spirit to guide us. And so I'm gonna finish today. I wanted to say it. I thought, you know what, the best way to do this is just put this up on the screen for you to read with me. I'm gonna read it out loud. You just pay attention. Think of it this way: every day when you get up, you're entering into unexplored territory. You don't know what's gonna happen. Anything could happen. You don't know or what obstacles might appear in your path. But the good news is that you have someone on board. You have the Holy Spirit on board who does. So pay attention and always be prepared to go where the Spirit leads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the example of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the wisdom of Scripture. We know that when we have all of those things in our lives, that we are more likely to stay on the right path. Lord, we pray that in those times when we get off the path, that you would guide us gently back, that we might hear that voice, that we might respond, that we might turn again to you. Bless us and be with us as we continue in our worship and as we gather at your table. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.